Let's roll. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Self-Help Show. This is Gina, and I'm your host. Today, I have a special guest. I know I always spoke about how I'm going to have experts on the show. So today, I'm joined by Christy. She is a licensed mental health counselor based in the New York State. She also has a national certification as a counselor, and she brings over 15 years of experience working across communities of mental health settings in private practice. She holds 2 master degrees of science degrees in the University of Rochester, and she's also just involved in School of Counseling, and she also has a deep investment of supporting working moms. So today's topic, we will be discussing navigating the unique emotional terrain of trying to do it all. And I want Christy to also formally introduce herself and also just put like a pin to this topic because it's very important in this day and age. So over to you, Christy.
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so happy to be here. So as you had said, my background is in, well, for starters, my name is Christy Gamir, and yes, I'm a licensed mental health counselor in New York State. That is what my background is in. I am also a burnout coach for moms, for working moms specifically. And when I say working moms, I don't just mean necessarily moms who are working outside of the home at this moment, but moms who are anywhere on their career journey, because as we know, a lot of times when we have kids, our priorities change, you know, what our career path looks like changes. And so for some of us, mm-hmm. that might mean that we're outside the home right now. It might mean we're staying at home or taking a pause and everywhere in between. And really how I got into this work was from my own personal experiences. You know, I was working as a mental health therapist in an agency fresh out of graduate school. I worked there for about 9 years or so. And it was a very demanding job. It was a very high burnout field. And I was doing well, but eventually I had my kids. And once I had my first of 2 kids, things really started to change. My priorities changed and shifted. And there were a lot of things that I just was not expecting. There were a lot of things that I was not anticipating, that I just was not mentally or emotionally prepared for. And so I spent, time working through that. I eventually ended up leaving the agency and going into private practice. And at that point, I had my second child. And through my work doing, you know, my own personal experience and then also my work, you know, as a therapist working with all these other moms, I just eventually realized that this is the population that I'm so passionate about. There are so many moms out there who are struggling. And so that is when I transitioned into coaching. And so that is what a big part of my focus is on right now, is really helping these working moms to manage to prevent and overcome burnout.
That is so amazing, because trust me, burnout culture is really raging. And I think it's very important to have these discussions centered around just highlighting and giving awareness to people that, hey, as much as you know, we are all in this digital space where you have this next thing and this next thing and opportunities are endless and you're trying to do it all, but it's almost like, how, you know? And then because people try so much and they stretch themselves, there we have it as burnout. So from your perspective, what is the most under-acknowledged emotional challenge that most working moms face today?
So I think that there is maybe more than one answer to that question. I do think that, you know, so for starters, moms are, that a lot of them do struggle with burnout. Now, that being said, I do want to acknowledge that there is a difference between being stressed and being burned out. And I imagine we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, but a lot of moms really struggle with a sense of burnout, trying to juggle everything, trying to do everything, you know, the expectations that they place on themselves, the expectations that they place on, you know, or that they're experiencing from society. But then along with that, there can be a lot of feelings of guilt that we experience. You know, we want to do well in our jobs. We want to do well at home. We want to, you know, just feel like we're being successful. And when we have to say, when we say yes to one thing, it often means we're saying no to something else. And so there can be a lot of feelings of guilt that we experience. There can be a lot of like frustration and anger and resentment towards, you know, towards our partners. Especially if we feel like the loads are not balanced. And so we experience a lot of that. And then there can also be a lot of like fear and anxiety around what all of this is going to mean, right? So what is this going to mean for my relationships with my partner? What is this going to mean for my relationships for my children? What is this going to mean for my career if I decide to take a step back and do something different? And so a lot of moms really struggle with that as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's also just this pressure that all of a sudden we have put on ourselves, like, why? But yeah, I think also when it comes to social media, I feel like social media is the biggest drive for this kind of thing. Because, for example, you look at your celebrities that are doing it all. You know, they have a beautiful career. They have a family. They have this. They have that. And when we say do it all, like, what are some of the categories that you have seen most in your practice? So when it comes to career, home, self-care and parenting, what's like the key items that people do that you've seen that are kind of, you know, this is normal, this is safe, and then this is extra, and then this is like dangerous? Like, do you have a list?
Well, so for starters, before I answer that, I just wanted to touch on what you said a minute ago about social media and celebrities and who they're doing it all. And I just want to sort of clarify it's the appearance that they're doing it all, right? Because that's the thing about social media, is that what we see is often not an accurate representation of what's actually happening behind the scenes. And so it can be really challenging, because so many people find themselves comparing to their perception of what another mom's life is really like. But I think that it's important to remember that there's always a give and take. There's always a trade-off, even for celebrities, right? So maybe they have the big house and the big fancy vacations and the big successful career. And are they able to, you know, invest in as much time with their families as they would like to? You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sure it's different for everybody. But it's really just important to remember that our situations are just our own. There are lots of right ways to do things. It's really about sort of identifying what success means to us based on our own values, our own priorities, and what somebody else is doing is really irrelevant. What really matters is how are we living our lives, you know, for ourselves, the way that we want, and are we doing it the way that we want to be? But to answer your question about, you know, at what point do we, like, how do we sort of distinguish between, where things are maybe more concerning, right? Where we need to be more concerned. Mm-hmm. And so coming back to what I was talking about a little bit before, you know, when we're talking specifically about burnout, well, let me back up before that. So anytime we're talking about any kind of like a mental health concern, generally the things that we look at are, you know, how is this particular thing affecting our lives? So is it causing us a significant amount of distress? Is it causing actual harm, actual problems in our day-to-day lives, right? And that can mean a number of different things. But when we talk about like stress versus burnout, because people tend to use the terms interchangeably, but we are talking about two different things. So whereas stress tends to be, you know, it's in a response to an external pressure or stressor, and it tends to be temporary. It tends to, any of the physiological, emotional challenges that we are experiencing as a result tend to be short term. When the stressor goes away, those symptoms go away. We might feel very tired, but we also, again, once we sort of get through that stressor, then we tend to feel better. There can also be, you know, more of the sense of hopefulness. Stress can actually be very motivating for us. It can encourage us to sort of push harder and keep going. And there can sort of be this sense of, okay, if I just get through this day, if I just get through this week, if I just get through this project, things will be okay, right? So there's this sense of hopefulness. Burnout, on the other hand, although it can seem very similar, it actually has some key differences. So whereas with stress, it's going to be this response to an external pressure demand, burnout is going to come from chronic unresolved stress. And then as a result of that, the exhaustion that we might feel is also going to be longer term. It's going to be sustained. So if we, you know, it's this deep sense of exhaustion that doesn't just go away with a nap, doesn't just go away with a good night's sleep. It doesn't just go away when we get through this one stressful thing. It's it is longer term. It tends to, unlike stress that motivates us, it actually can lead to a lack of motivation. And it can also, unlike stress where we're going to feel more hopeful, burnout is going to lead us to feeling more hopeless. Like we're sort of like we're on this hamster wheel that we just can't seem to get off of. And so, and it can just sort of be this idea of, oh my gosh, this is never going to end. This is never going to get better. And so with burnout, because there are those key differences, we're also going to be addressing it differently. Like the way that we help people through the two different things is also going to look a bit different.
Yeah. That's so deep. I actually never looked at it that way because I am personally a mental health patient. Mm-hmm. I can still say this, even though it's been almost 3 years since I had my sessions with my therapist. The first trigger for my mental health was burnout. And this was based off, like you mentioned, it's chronic unresolved stress. Mm-hmm. I had the stress and the strain of just doing my best to a point of detriment, and I was not aware of it. Mm-hmm. So when I had the burnout, it was like a burnout slash panic attack slash just like the brain, the body, everything just breaking apart and falling apart because I was just doing too much. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to that happening the first time, second time, third time, fourth time. And then obviously taking treatment, doing almost therapy for 2.5 years. Even this whole podcast came about based on that, because I wanted to kind of help people or make them realize that, okay, hey, if you keep on going like this, this is what's going to happen to you. So it's almost like trying to help people avoid crossing that line of like mental health, because once you're there, it alters your life completely, you know? Mm-hmm. So how does burnout manifest differently for a working mom compared to like maybe a non-working mom or like a working father? Because I know the difference is moms have the responsibility of the child depending heavily on them compared mm-hmm. to single people without children, or comparing to like the dad, I'm not really sure if compared to the mm-hmm. dad or not, but I know mothers take that big chunk of responsibility. So I wanted to just have you kind of give us like a breakdown of how this burnout manifests differently for working moms, and what are some of the signs, what are some of the things that people can be cautious of?
Yeah, so in a general sense, there are going to be certain things that are going to be similar with various populations and situations. So again, as I had mentioned before, this sense of chronic exhaustion, there can be this sense of hopelessness, there can be this lack of motivation, there can be a sense of cynicism. You know, all of those kinds of things can be signs that a person is nearing or already crossed the line of burnout. But to your point, with working moms specifically, it can be really difficult because we have this tendency to always want to push through, to keep going. We're always prioritizing everybody else's needs ahead of our own. So even when we notice that we maybe are being affected, or we notice that we are struggling, we don't always necessarily want to stop and ask for that support. We don't always want to slow down because we tend to put this pressure on ourselves. We tend to have these expectations that we have to be able to do it all And if we're not able to do that, then there's something wrong with us. Then we're failing in some way. You know, there can be this really strong sense of perfectionism with a lot of moms. They don't always necessarily realize that they're experiencing it. But this idea that we have to do things, you know, to a certain standard, we have to do things a certain way. And if we don't, then maybe we're failing. And so we just kind of keep going, even when we are having a hard time or struggling.
Yeah, that is true. And I think most of that also comes from like these internal pressures, you know, because even maybe the external pressures like your work demands or your partner support or childcare system, it could be internal pressures versus your external pressures. So how does each of that contribute and which of the two tends to get like overlooked?
So I think that it's important to mention again, you know, just remember that everybody's situations are different. However, yes, there are some things that I do think can influence how well we tend to move through these things to get to a place where things are feeling better. So a big one is sort of identifying and recognizing our own internal strengths. And these are things that people a lot of times struggle with, but of course, with additional help and support, a lot of times people can start to identify, like, what are the things that I bring to the table? That being said, also having a support system, right, which can really be a struggle. And I think this, especially with working moms, you know, everybody always talks about this idea of it takes a village to raise a child. And that is a great idea. But unfortunately, a lot of moms don't feel like they have a village, you know, or they don't feel like they have a village locally that they can necessarily turn to. You know, they either don't have people who live in the area. Maybe they don't live near their family who can help, or maybe their family is unable or unwilling to help. You know, they might have friends in the area, but a lot of times they don't necessarily want to ask their friends for help because they don't want to burden them, or they know that they're busy with their own lives. And so even when we have people in our lives who care about us, a lot of times moms can still feel like they're lacking support. And so one of the important things to do is to really be able to work on like building and leaning into that support system. So that's another important thing. And then another piece of that too is utilizing any resources that might be available. And again, sometimes we don't always know which resources are available to us. They could be personal resources, financial or whatnot. They could also be community resources. A lot of times we're not aware of the community resources available to us. So it's important to be able to ask questions to sort of identify where are those things that can be helpful for us. And so all of those things are going to be really important. And then the other things, you know, that I think are really important when it comes to, you know, really sort of working through some of this stuff is to be able to do mindset work. Mindset work, I think, is so important because a lot of times it is our mindsets that are really like serving as barriers to us moving forward. So working through that perfectionism, working through that people-pleasing behavior, working through those feelings of guilt, you know, working through those feelings of resentment, knowing that it is okay to ask for help, you know, doing all of that and really working to overcome our limiting beliefs can be incredibly important and valuable in moving through burnout.
I love that you mentioned mindset because that was the next thing I was going to talk about. Because can you share us any go-to therapeutical tools for like mindset shift?
Yeah. So generally speaking, when we are experiencing some sort of a feeling around something, whether it's anger, whether it's guilt, whether it's anxiety or whatever it might be, we tend to have some sort of a thought that's attached to it, right? And that's where mindset is such an important thing to pay attention to, because you can have two people go through the exact same experience, but if they're thinking about it differently, they are going to feel differently about it. They are going to make different decisions. So, you know, just there's a very big difference, for example, between a person who says, you know, I have to attend this work event. And, you know, it doesn't, it doesn't matter what I have going on at home. Like, I have to do this. I don't have a choice. And then maybe they're thinking to themselves, oh my gosh, and I feel so like I'm a terrible parent because now I'm not at home with my child. And now they're feeling guilty, right? There's a very big difference between that versus, you know, well, this work event is very important. And here's why it's important. And here's why it's okay that I'm leaving, you know, that I'm not at home right now with my kids, you know, and this idea that it is okay, right? That's where the mindset stuff can be really, really important to pay attention to. And so what we really want to be able to do, and this is something that we can really benefit from having additional support, especially because a lot of times outside perspectives are going to be different than our own, is to start to pay attention to and understand what is that self-talk that's going on? What are the things that we are saying to ourselves? And then being able to take a closer look at that and explore some of those thoughts so that we can challenge them and try to change them.
I love that. So we are actually coming close to the end, and I have two more things, actually three, that I want to talk about. So as a self-ordained mental health advocate or mental health ambassador, I am very passionate and like almost like I'm obsessed with just sharing mental health content, making sure people hear it and listen to it. We had Mental Health Day this past like few weeks back, and it didn't get as much recognition as it's supposed to, even though every single person knows someone that is suffering from mental health. So I think it's very important for us to actually push this narrative onwards, because the internet is causing all of these issues. There are big organizations that are aware of the mental health conditions of majority of Gen Zs and even baby boomers and millennials. Everybody's affected. So I want to ask you, as a licensed mental health counselor, what structural or systematic support changes would you love to see in the workspace, in schools? What policies and cultures do you feel like will lighten the load and the weight on moms, on daughters, on sons, on fathers, on everyone in general?
Very big question. I hope I can answer that in 2 minutes.
No, go for it.
For starters, I just want to mention, too, that what you had said a minute ago about internet being a big part of the problem, and I agree with you. I also think that it's important to remember, too, that internet can sometimes be a very valuable tool if used the right way, right? So this podcast, for example, right? Getting our stories out there, getting our messages out there, helping people realize that they are not alone in what they're experiencing can be a very, very powerful thing. So even though, yes, the internet can be problematic, it can also be an amazing tool when used appropriately, when used the right way. I think in terms of some of these systemic things that you were asking about, I think it really starts with, you know, the conversations, you know, being able to, you know, talk about what some of these problems are, being willing to listen and hear about what some of these problems are that people are experiencing, you know, supporting, you know, I've obviously been talking about working moms. This is true for any population, but really trying to hear what the concerns are and where they're struggling and trying to work with them to support them and try to do things preventatively, right? Like putting certain programs in place to treat problems that have already occurred is great. But what's better is if we can put supports in place to prevent those problems from, you know, happening to begin with. And so I think that's really just where it sort of starts, is having those conversations.
I love that. And this is to all the working moms out there, like, this is for you. I had a working mom whom I never really saw. She was always working. And I wish, I do sometimes wish I had a mom who was a housewife, because then I think the odds would have been different. But me looking back in that time, I realized that they were already getting pressure, even though it wasn't the age of the internet. So that pressure to just provide even as a mom when you have the structure that's supposed to provide for you was already there. So I think I give so much love and so much respect to mothers that are out there, mothers that are trying, especially single mothers. There is so many single mothers now that this is like a specific topic that I'll discuss also. But like, I think shout out to them. And if you could give one empowering takeaway to our listeners who are working moms right now, what would that be?
I would say that there are lots of different ways to be a good mom. There is not one way. Whatever way works for you, that is great. And just to remember that life is hard, but we're all doing the best we can. And you're doing a great job.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was so like wholesome. Awesome. So there's one thing that I do with all the guests. When we come to the close, I always ask them, like, what is the one thing that you can tell us that only you know? Only you know. Nobody else knows. So this can be a little secret. This could be something that you observed. This could be something you read. Something that nobody else knows.
Oh my gosh, that's a really hard question. I don't know how to answer that. Well, I don't know if it's something that nobody else knows, but again, I guess I would just sort of reemphasize this idea that, you know, that even when people feel like they are struggling, even when people feel like things are not going to get better and there's not a light at the end of the tunnel, always is. There's always a solution, even if we don't see it. You know, there's always another way. We just have to sort of be, you know, open to seeing it and open to accepting help and feedback and getting support.
Yeah, that's very important. Okay, thank you so much, Christy. So where can people find you on social media, your website?
Yeah. So for starters, I would like to just mention that I also very recently started a podcast specifically towards helping these working moms who are burned out. It's called Overcaffeinated and Out of F's. And those episodes also release on Tuesdays. And then I have my coaching website, which is ChristyGamierCoaching.com, where they can, you know, get support and access to resources. And then I have a Facebook group, Thrive as a Career-Minded Mom, that they are welcome to join as well.
Okay, fantastic. That sounds great. Thank you so much once again. And to you listeners, I hope you picked a thing or two or three or four or more. Feel free to share, like, comment, give us some insights. What do you think about this discussion, mental health, the pressures we're dealing with, burnout, stress, and just the overall responsibility that we kind of hand everything else that we need to take care of. So do make sure you like, do make sure you share with your friends, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.